Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm joined by my Packer fan, faithful person, Marcus Raper.
Oh, we had to throw that in there, didn't we?
You know, man, we had to. Yeah, so. Let's go ahead and jump into it, Marcus. I know you've mentioned multiple times on this show that you're a Packer homer, and that's perfectly fine, man. Stay true. But what was your immediate feelings following that game this past weekend?
Well, I, you know, got lucky, throw my phone and it didn't break. So, you know, I felt relieved. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's the every year thing. I mean, whether it's the NFC championship game or, you know, earlier than that, I mean, I'm used to it. My wife, of course, she gets a kick out of it and laughs and makes fun. But I tell everybody, we've had the, you know, honestly, over a 30-year span, a little longer than that, I think. What team has had a better quarterback with Favre and Rodgers? And you've got two Super Bowls to show for it. So I don't blame it on Rodgers. I know he's catching a lot of hate. Over the last, you know, few days, everybody talks about if he's leaving or if he's not, and pretty much blaming it on him. And I know they probably could have done a little better as offense, but, you know, they shut Adams down after that first drive, you know, double and triple covered him. Several drops by the other receivers. I just feel like Rodgers, you know, he done what he could do. I mean, it's what, 4 degrees, 5 degrees, you know, ultimately it comes back to what they talked about at the beginning of the game, you know, special teams.
Yeah.
You know, hold the Niners to nothing as well. They just get a block punt, return it for a touchdown, and that's pretty much, you know, what wins them the ball game. So
just I think the biggest thing
of a Packer fan.
Yeah, that's basically just exactly what you said. I think the biggest deciding factor of that game was that block punt. I mean, you take that away, yeah, and it's a completely different outcome, and you're feeling a lot better right now compared to what you're currently feeling. But, man, I agree with you, though. This past weekend's games, though, all four of them, man, they were fun to watch. It's probably one of the best weekends as far as football goes that I can remember, especially divisional rounds. And so I'll be honest with you, Marcus, I don't even think the Super Bowl this year will be as good as that Chiefs-Bills game was the other night.
I don't think anything can match that. I don't know, like you say, of 4 games in a weekend, I don't know if anything compares to that. But something else I'll add to the Green Bay deal. A lot of people look at that home field advantage being something of noteworthy, but – you know, honestly, when you're playing in weather like that, I don't know if it's an advantage for either team. I kind of got to thinking back when Favre, I believe it was his last year in Green Bay, they won the NFC championship game, the Giants beat them. You know, that wasn't really a home field advantage for the Packers even then. Field frozen over, you know. So, but, yeah, definitely all 4 games. I think three of the games decided by a field goal with time running out. And then, you know, of course, the Chiefs and Bills where Mahomes drives down and wins the game. I don't know if you'll get, you know, a weekend of football any better than that for years to come.
Yeah, so Marcus, let me ask you this question real quick before we jump into today's episode. Should the NFL change the overtime rules?
Yes and no. I mean, I say no because I've been a football fan since, you know, I was born in 87, and I can remember watching, you know, even as early as watching Joe Montana still when he's playing with the 49ers. So, you know, early 90s. And as far back as I can remember, that overtime rule has been tweaked a little bit. I think it used to be, if I remember right, if you kick a field goal, it was the first team to score. And then they finally altered it where, you know, you had to score a touchdown. And if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance as well. So, no, because of that, because it's been that way forever. You know, and honestly, the Bills had one of the best defenses in the league this year. If they stop Mahomes, you know, with 13 seconds to go, there is no overtime. But then again, I could see, you know, I like the college overtime as well, where both teams gets a shot, and you know, you go down to, you get to the point where you make them go for two. So, you know, either way, if they keep the same, I'm not going to be mad. And yeah, if they change it, I wouldn't either. But I will say, you know, I'm not gonna take anything away from the Chiefs, and saying, you know, well, they won, but Josh Allen didn't get a chance to, because they had, you know, you got four quarters to win the ball game. So,
yeah. And I agree with that. I think, man, it just is very unlucky for the Bills. I will say that. Just because, I mean, I want to say going into that game, Josh Allen had won the past, I think it was 10 or 11 coin tosses. And then the one that he loses was overtime.
That's what somebody said. They said, Josh Allen couldn't have done anything else. And it says, yeah, he could have called heads.
Oh, man. But I agree with you, though. It's one of those things where, like, you kind of want to say, hey, it's how it's been, and you got four quarters to stop them. On the other hand, I kind of – I lean more towards the side of give each team a chance, just kind of see, kind of like the college football rules. But overall, I think it was a good weekend. I think there was a lot of dynasty implications, which we're going to talk about here shortly. But going into today's episode, kind of an outline real quick for you guys is we're going to have a review of our playoff picks so far. We'll go through what our picks were for Super Wild Card Weekend and also the divisional round. We'll talk about some key takeaways from the playoffs so far, what we've kind of been seeing as far as players moving up and down in dynasty rankings and how we view their offenses and things going forward. After that, we'll thank our sponsors, I guess you could say, our partners or whatnot. And then to end the show off, we figured we'd have a little free agent frenzy and talk about some wide receivers going into the offseason. So, Marcus, let's review this Super Wild Card Weekend real fast and kind of what our picks were. So the week that we had the episode that we chose our playoff picks going into Super Wild Card Weekend, we had Kelby as a special guest. Kelby ended up going 4-2 as our guest pick. Marcus, you ended up going 4-2. And then surprisingly, I went 6-0. I think what was the two games that we differed on, Marcus? I can't remember.
I think me and Kelby, let's see, we picked Cardinals.
Was it the Rams, Bucks?
Oh no, it was the Cardinals, and then it was the Dallas game, which we both said we thought Dallas would end up losing that game, but we went with the Cowboys instead, and you went ahead and went with the 49ers.
Man, it's just for me, I think honestly, just kind of throw that out there. The reason I chose the 49ers instead of the Cowboys is because I know what the potential of the Cowboys offense can be, because we saw that a bunch this season. But, dude, they're so inconsistent right now. I think CeeDee Lamb didn't get a catch until the second half, closer to the fourth quarter than anything. And I want to say it was Steve Young or Joe Montana or somebody came out. Oh, it was Troy Aikman. Yeah, I want to say Troy Aikman came out and said, man, if that was Michael Irvin, that guy would have had 10 catches because they were playing a man-to-man the whole game.
Yeah.
And so you got to get your superstar the ball, man.
That's I agree. That's the same thing. I don't believe in any kind of luck or anything like that, but it seems like anytime I pick a team, they lose. Of course, you know, well, with the Packers and things like that, but I almost, you know, done that with the Cowboys because everybody knows I want to see them lose. So I was like, I think the 49ers will win, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys just to see if it'll rub off on them, you know?
Hey, man. Well, I think we kind of get that vibe from all of our must-sits, must-starts, honestly.
Exactly.
So moving into the division around in our picks, Marcus, you went 1-3, and I went 2-2. I think both of us ended up choosing the Packers, which was one of our losses. I know I had the Bengals over the Titans. I want to say you did as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about what kind of stood out to us over the playoffs so far, Marcus. Just kind of looking at the games as a whole, just what were some of your key takeaways from the past 2 weeks?
Well, you know, one thing that kind of stood out to me, and this even goes, like you said, to a dynasty perspective, is the Steelers definitely have to move on. Big Ben has done his thing. I think he didn't go out winning the Super Bowl, but, you know, made it to the playoffs. But he's hurting his team from a you know, NFL perspective and from a fantasy perspective. And that was one big thing for me. I was glad to see Big Ben, you know, kind of go out like he did. I've never been a big fan of his. But, you know, to see a guy start and finish his whole career in the same city, pretty neat. So Big Ben, you know, he done what he done, and now it's time for him to get on out of there.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's one of those things where, you know, you hate to kick a man while he's down, but with Big Ben, we've known for probably 2 years now that he's past his prime. And so with it was just a prolonged conclusion, I guess you would say. We knew that it was getting closer to the end of his career, and I think he just may have waited a year too long. You know, you would like to see a man go out kind of on top and having some good output and stuff like that. But I'm hoping that the Steelers can kind of come in and bring a good quarterback in the off season.
Yeah.
What else did you take away?
Of course, I'm a Dallas hater, and everybody knows that. But this is going to be controversial, but I don't know if Dak's the guy. And that's not just coming from a, you know, an Ole Miss fan trying to hate on a Mississippi State guy, but, you know, fantasy wise, Dak's a great quarterback, but on the field, it's kind of like we talked about with that game with, you know, with the Niners, he didn't get the ball to where it needed to go. And then, you know, of course, through Zeke's golden years, they had to stack the box to stop Zeke, and I think it made Dak look a little better than maybe what he was. But you know, the decisions that he made. I seen somebody said it took Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds to drive down and win the game, and it took Dak 14 seconds to do a quarterback draw up the middle. Yeah. So, you know, it just some of the decisions he makes. Not getting the ball. You've seen this year he's had some great games, but then he's had some really mediocre games. And, you know, I feel for the Cowboys fans because they're a lot like us Packer fans. You know, that seems they make the playoffs every year, but they get put out, you know, in the first game. So, yeah. I don't know. They may turn around. I will say a lot of that's on Mike McCarthy as well. You know, again, Packers to Cowboys. You got our, you know, turd of a coach, so you know, I think you know, if they get somebody else in charge, change the offense up, but you know, I could see another couple years and then moving on from Dak if things don't go better in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think Dak's a really good quarterback. I'm not gonna lie to you. As far as dynasty goes, I'd probably be buying him right now just because his value is probably at an all-time low. But as far as that offense goes, if you're fixing to lose your offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, to a head coaching gig, and Mike McCarthy is about the only person there right now that can call plays as a Dallas fan, I would be a little scared of what the future may hold. If you thought that offense this past year looks rough, I would hate to see it in the hands of Mike McCarthy.
Has McCarthy, was he been there 3 years?
He's been there for a little bit.
I can't remember. With the news that's breaking today, though, do they fire McCarthy and go after Sean Payton?
I don't know, man. I've heard rumors and stuff, but I from what I understood about Sean Payton's situation is they're saying that he's not retiring from the game of football. They're saying that he just wants a break after 16 seasons, I believe is what it is.
Kind of stepping away.
Yeah, you know, he's probably burnt out a little bit, and so, I mean, I get it. But man, what the ideal situation of what I would see and what I would hope would happen, but it's not going to, is Mike McCarthy getting the boot there in Dallas, and then Kellen Moore kind of coming up as the head coach. Like I said, that's not going to happen. But you know, here's hoping. And then what about Arizona, Marcus? I know you got that in the show notes.
Well, they've got to get some weapons. I know they've got Connor. To me, he's kind of on the downslide. They got Hopkins, but he's old. You know, you've got a couple young guys, but I see Arizona. They need to go out, and I know they've done that with Hopkins, but he just can't stay healthy. But they've got to go out and get Kyler Murray some weapons. They've got a pretty decent defense. They play in a really tough division. But, you know, for them to be Super Bowl contenders, which they look like at the beginning of the year, I think they've got to go out and get him. You know, and they done that with Zach Ertz. But again, they get a piece there who sometimes can't stay healthy. So, they need to get some weapons there in Arizona. I think Kyler looked like a mediocre quarterback towards the end of the year and in the playoffs. And I just don't think he is. I think he's great, you know?
Yeah.
But they've got to get weapons there for him to be able to play to the full of his potential.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. Like I'm a D-Hop fan. I think him going to Arizona was probably what's best for him getting out of Houston. But I agree with you here. I think they do have some young potential studs, such as like Rondale Moore, who they just drafted. But they also got to kind of look at the big picture as well, as Jefferson losing people to free agency. We're going to be talking about Christian Kirk here shortly. I think James Conner and both Chase Edmonds, them two are up as free agents at in the offseason as well. And so they could be going into the offseason with Eno Benjamin as their running back, or trying to look to draft one, or trying to re-sign one of the veterans. So for that, man, I agree with, I think Kyler's potential and what he really is a great quarterback, and he hasn't shown in the past couple of weeks. But as far as my takeaways go, something that I've seen over the past 2 weeks, number one, if you've got Joe Burrow as a quarterback in Dynasty, man, you better be glad that you drafted him or traded for him low when you did, because his value is constantly rising. Also, a side note, if you've got a Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase stack, or a Joe Burrow T. Higgins stack, you're pretty set for years and years to come. That guy is targeting them two specifically really heavy. Burrow, in my opinion, is probably the comeback player of the year as far as fantasy perspective and even in the NFL. And so for that, I'm excited for that whole, that entire team, man. I'm excited for their dynasty value going forward. As far as their playoff push and stuff like that, I don't quite know how far they're going to get in things. But we'll kind of see how it is playing without an offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. I've got that Burrow Higgins stack and a two quarterback lead. So, you know, I'm pretty pumped about that to start the year next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said earlier, man, Dallas has to get CeeDee Lamb more involved. His dynasty value has taken a hit over the past 2 weeks. I've seen him go from wide receiver 3 in a bunch of people's dynasty rankings all the way down to wide receiver 8, 9, 10. For me, honestly, I'm buying a dip on this. I think CeeDee has uber potential, and I think that he is a solid wide receiver 1 on your team. But the only thing is that people are tired of waiting. They want to see that production now, and I'm hoping that he gets it, especially with Michael Gallup going into free agency, and hopefully, I think Cooper's only got one more year on his contract. Yeah. So we've already talked about Dallas. Another thing that I kind of seen as well is, in my personal opinion, a key takeaway that I saw is that Brandon Ayuk is on the rise in dynasty rankings. And so all I'm going to say to you listeners is, I hope you bought low when you did. This guy has potential to be a top 15 dynasty wide receiver. And so if you bought him whenever he was in the doghouse of Kyle Shanahan, congratulations on that value that you've gotten so far. He's one of the receivers that I see as a great option going forward, especially whenever he gets paired up with Trey Lance in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I was just going to say. The only thing, really holding him back is Garoppolo. So
yep.
Going forward, you're absolutely correct on that.
All right, Marcus. So after this past weekend's games, I got to ask you the question: who's your dynasty quarterback 1 right now?
Well, in the show notes, I'm almost gonna disappoint you, because you got Josh Allen saying he's the QB2, no doubt. I'm going QB1, man. I think he's a year or two younger than Mahomes, maybe. And honestly, with the output, just I think the run and the touchdown potential, which Mahomes has kind of slacked off on, it gives Josh Allen the edge. Mahomes had some pretty bad games this year. I don't really know where they're going to finish. I haven't looked at it, but I think honestly going forward, I would rather have Allen over Mahomes.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of leaning towards is, I wrote this show doc in earlier in the week before the playoff game, and watching that game, I still have Mahomes as the QB1 just barely, and I'm talking about barely ahead of Josh Allen. I don't even want to call it 1 and 2. I want to call it 1A, 1B, because I think that those two quarterbacks are a tier by themselves. Honestly, I think Justin Herbert's kind of closer than the other quarterbacks up there. But, man, the thing that makes me lean Josh Allen as the QB1 instead of Mahomes, that I want weapons to put him there, man, it's weapons. But not only that, it's that entire offense runs through Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And not only that, like you said, he's been more consistent. He has higher upside. I'll be completely honest with you, and this may be a hot take, but he deserved to win that game this past weekend. Dude played his heart out. And yeah. So I know you can't measure hard or whatnot, but he should have.
And I think Mahomes, you've seen this weekend with McKinnon, that's what he's missing is that running back, you know, receiving. And I think CEH has kind of hindered Mahomes. I look for them to go out this year in the draft or in free agency one. And I hate to say that because CEH is so young, but they've got to have somebody that fills that role a little better than he does. And Josh Allen has two of those guys. So,
And that's the thing, man.
Everybody, fantasy wise, everybody's saying you've lost your mind. You know, Singletary and them are not better than CEH, probably not fantasy wise. But as far as helping Josh Allen and Mahomes' stats, Josh Allen has better options to throw to out of the backfield.
Yeah, that's like I think CEH is a decent running back. I'm not gonna lie, I think it's a good RB2 for your team, low end. But now, if I had to put the ideal running back on their team, I would choose somebody with the skill set of a DeAndre Swift, of somebody like, man, even James White. I know that's not a name you would think there, but like a receiving back. Let Mahomes take all the work there, quit trying to establish the run, and just pass out of the backfield. I think if you did that, he would become like Josh Allen. A side note, though, you mentioned Devin Singletary, dude. Have you seen his stats over the past, like, 8 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and everybody thought I'll be honest. I thought it was, you know, Zach Moss. I thought Singletary was washed up. But,
yeah,
he's proven everybody wrong.
I want to say he scored a touchdown in, like, his past probably 6 or 8 games already. And so he's one of the guys where I don't think he's ranked in anybody's top 30 running backs in Dynasty. And so if you're wanting, like, a good little flex play, you can probably send like a second round pick and get him pretty cheap. And not only that, but like I really expected the Bills to go out in the offseason or even in the this coming up draft class and draft a running back or get one in the free agents. I don't necessarily know that if they're going to or not. But the last thing I'll say, Marcus, before we move on, is another takeaway that I saw. And I know this kind of comes down to whether Aaron Rodgers stays or if he goes or whatnot. But currently, I'm buying Aaron Jones in Dynasty. The reason that I say that is that everybody is out on Aaron Jones. People are wanting to move away from him. And a lot of people's rankings that I've seen him all the way down to like running back 15, running back 20, and things like that. I know that AJ Dillon's there. I know that he's getting used a pretty good bit and things like that. But, man, my thing is that Aaron Jones is still involved in that passing game, especially if Aaron Rodgers is there. But not only that, he's one of the cheapest RB1s in Dynasty right now. I've seen trades go down the past couple of weeks online just getting Aaron Jones for stupid cheap. And so if I can have him as my RB2, man, even my RB3 or 4 on a team, which I think you could possibly make a deal to get that going, then, I mean, why not make that move?
Yeah. And something else to think about, what is, say, like a first-year quarterback, not a rookie necessarily, but the first-year starter, what's their best friend that dump off to the running back? That's it. So, yeah, I agree with you.
But moving on, Marcus, let's talk about this review of our Super Bowl champion draft from episode 11. So in our Thanksgiving episode, we were joined by your son, Greg, and we participated in a Super Bowl champion draft with a $10 coffee gift card on the line. So let's just take a look at our recap of our picks, Marcus, and see who's left. Your picks were the Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Indianapolis Colts. Mind you, this was, 9 weeks ago almost? Mm-hmm. And so that's who we saw making the playoffs. So currently you have the Chiefs and the Rams going for you. That's your two picks going forward. Spoiler alert, all four of my picks have been eliminated from the playoffs. I had the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Buffalo Bills as my two front runners. But then I also chose the Baltimore Ravens and the Cowboys because I thought they would make it, but obviously they didn't. Greg had 3 out of the 4 get eliminated. And so currently he is rolling with the Cincinnati Bengals. And he also chose the Chargers, the Cardinals, and the Patriots, and all 3 of them have been eliminated. So really, Marcus, on a far gift card, it's between you and Greg. And I'll be completely honest with you, I lean more your side than I do Greg's side.
That's actually who I've got, you know, which I can't catch you in the other. You went 6-0 and 2-2, so it's impossible for me to catch you. And we may have the same picks going to the Super Bowl, but for the championship week, that's I've got Kansas City versus the Rams in the Super Bowl. So, you know, that would be great. I'd have it locked up. So
yeah, you would. You know, so the matchups this coming up weekend. Who do the Chiefs play?
Chiefs will play the Bengals, and then the Rams play the 49ers.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I got the same outcome going. I think the Chiefs will handle the Bengals pretty single-handedly. Just the reason being is I think Chris Jones is going to feast on that offensive line for the Bengals.
The Titans had 9 sacks. So
yeah,
I could see Kansas City having, you know, 15 this weekend, and you never know. I mean, you got to give it to Joe Burrow. You know, he's done. Dude,
he's a stud.
He's already done what people said he couldn't. So, you know, the dude he goes out and wins this ball game, makes it to the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to have Cincinnati as your favorites to win it just on sheer, you know, I mean, he's pulling a rabbits out the hat.
the Rams Niners matchup, that's the one that I'm not really sold on yet. I want to say the 49ers beat the Rams later on in the season, right?
They did, yeah. Pretty bad. I mean, I don't remember the score was that bad, but the game, which, of course, I mean, the 49ers defense been underrated all year. They've got a great defense. But my thing, and I know it's not a – you know, they're not the only position on the field, but when it comes back to quarterback play, if you put
Stafford up against Garoppolo,
I mean, Stafford's got him by a mile. It will come down to, I think, in that game towards the end of the year, I think Stafford turned the ball over 2 or 3 times.
He did.
If the Rams don't turn the ball over, I'm going to say they beat them by, you know, 14 at least, possibly even more than that. Now, Stafford, and that's the thing, he's taking care of the ball. And I would love to see him, you know, go get him a ring. It's almost like he's paid his time. You know, he's been with Detroit, played with a horrible team for all those years. So it'd be cool. It'd be cool to see him, you know, go win one.
Yeah, and that's my reasoning as well. Is I think if you line both of those teams up, I think the quarterback position is where the biggest difference is. If you look at the way Jimmy G's been playing throughout the playoffs, he hasn't looked great. I understand there was a snow game and things like that, but even the week prior, he didn't look good. I think the biggest difference is the way that Matthew Stafford has been playing throughout the playoffs right now. You don't really want to bet against them. So going forward, Mark, let's just take a short time to thank the people that we need to thank. First off, I want to thank our listeners, man. It's because of you guys that we're even having a podcast right now. We don't get a lot of publicity and things like that, and that's perfectly fine. But it's you faithful 25, 30 listeners each and every week, that makes us kind of continue on and kind of pursue this, I guess you would say. So we thank you for your support. We thank you for just listening to our terrible takes sometimes. And even whenever we get them right, we get excited and stuff. But, man, thank you guys for taking time and just listening to the two average dudes talk about some fantasy football. Man, we genuinely appreciate that.
Yep. And we'd also like to thank Plowboy Radio. Of course, Derek and Bradley and Ben over there as they give their takes each week on, you know, just biblical theology. The dudes, you know, you can always tune in and they're gonna break stuff down in a way that you can understand it. And we appreciate them and them shouting us out on their podcast. So if you want to listen to something like that, go over and give them a follow and a good review.
Yep, and the last podcast that we'd like to thank is the Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast hosted by Ben McCarthy. He is a fellow league mate of me and Marcus's and in our fantasy football leagues, and he has started a fantasy basketball league where he does a podcast about it. And so Ben is very, very familiar with the NBA, all the trade talks, trade rumors, things like that. And what he does is every episode he talks about his home fantasy basketball league and he talks about NBA news. And so if you enjoy the NBA, all things basketball, go over and give our man Ben McCarthy a follow at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. All right, Marcus, I just want to jump into this last segment, man. We're going to kind of I guess, get off of the script that we have, get off of our show doc, and just kind of have a natural conversation here, okay? Like me and you talked about before the show, during the off season, we just want to kind of throw away the script, throw away the notes and things like that, and just kind of talk some stuff out. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing what we call a free agent frenzy, where we'll be breaking down free agents that will be coming up in this off season. Today, specifically, we're going to be talking about the wide receiver position. So before we get started, what I want to do is run through a list that I've created, kind of a tier break of all of the free agent wide receivers coming up. Okay. It's a lot of names, so bear with me, because I didn't realize that this free agent class was so deep. But we're going to kind of focus primarily on the top here, but I want to kind of give a list for listeners. So in our first tier, who I have as free agents at the wide receiver position is Devontae Adams and Chris Godwin. I think those two guys are your superstars that any team is really drooling over to have as their wide receiver ones. In the second tier, I've got Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster, Christian Kirk, Michael Gallup, Allen Robinson, and Odell Beckham Jr. Wide receivers who still have talent and can be really, really good studs for their teams. In the third tier, I've got DJ Chark, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Jamison Crowder, and Will Fuller. People who still have dynasty, I guess, value, you could say. After that, you got more of your sleepers. And so in the fourth tier, you have Cedric Wilson, Byron Pringle, James Washington, Traquan Smith, Russell Gage, and Zay Jones. In the next tier, I like the title of this one, Washed Wide Receivers. Basically, people who's going to get a one-year deal somewhere. And that's A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, T.Y. Hilton, and Sammy Watkins. And then the very end, you have your restricted free agents who may end up signing with the teams that they're currently at or going somewhere else. And that is Alan Lazard, Jacoby Myers, and Jalen Guyton. So real quick, Marcus, I'm going to give you a list of 12 teams that I came up with that is currently really, really desperate at wide receiver. Okay. You have the Atlanta Falcons, the Chicago Bears, the Cleveland Browns, the Green Bay Packers, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Kansas City Chiefs, Las Vegas Raiders, New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tennessee Titans. So before we get started, Marcus, something I want to kind of mention real quick. As we talk about a couple of these free agent wide receivers, we have to remember that these teams who have wide receiver needs also have a 2022 NFL draft coming up. And so they could very, very easily go out and draft players like Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, or Jameson Williams. And so keeping that in mind, let's just kind of jump in and talk about some of these wide receivers. So, Marcus, I'm going to give you the floor first. I know you want to talk about your boy Devontae Adams. Just kind of off the top of your head, we know that Devontae Adams is obviously like a dynasty top five wide receiver right now. Where do you see, I guess, kind of like, where do you see him end up after this offseason? Do you see him stay in Green Bay? Do you see him go somewhere else? And what do you think that does to his dynasty value?
Man, I think it all depends on Aaron Rodgers, which, of course, everybody's probably got the same perspective I do. You know, I think if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, the only way he's going to stay is if they can keep Devontae Adams there with him. If Rodgers leaves, I'll be honest, I think Devontae leaves as well. Where he ends up, I'm not sure. I think I was reading an article this morning where I think it was somebody from the Raiders was already recruiting him. Like, hey, you know, come on out here with us. He seems like a well-liked player. Everybody's going to want him. But it's like you said, with some of those teams with needs, it really just depends where he ends up. I think his fantasy value is going to stay close to the same, because wherever he goes, he's going to be the number one. I don't think there's not a team out there that can afford him that would bump his value down much.
Yeah.
But then right there again, he's not going to be playing with the talent of an Aaron Rodgers. So, I think he still stays top 10, no doubt. And according to where he ends up, I think he still, stays up in that top five. I think my ideal situation for him, I would love to see him end up, if he does leave Green Bay, in New England. I think that would be, to see him with Mac Jones and that offense, I think that would be a perfect fit for him.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same way with you, Marcus. I think it really comes down to Aaron Rodgers. I know Rodgers has already came out into the media and said that he will be making his decision before free agency starts. The only issue that I think is going to happen there, and the only kind of obstacle in the way, is that salary cap. I know that I've heard that that they may end up franchise tagging Devontae Adams. But even if they do that, they still got to make a lot of room elsewhere, man. So I think your chances of seeing that Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams stack in Green Bay next year, I think is slowly going down. I think it's still probably chilling at around probably 40% or so. But, man, I think his dynasty value has higher upside, like you said, if he's playing with Rodgers still. I think even if he doesn't, though, like you said, I think he still maintains top 10 value. I still see him as having probably another 2 years of solid, solid wide receiver output. The question, Marcus, I'm going to ask you this, man. If you got him in Dynasty, are you selling right now or are you keeping him?
I'm hanging on to him just for the simple fact I've got him in our league, and I've had several trade offers for him and some good ones. I actually sent one trade out, and it was you know, pretty lopsided. But of course, I'm going to try to get all I can get out of him if I do move him. But for me personally, I just think wherever he goes, he's still going to be a dynasty, a top 10. So to get that value back for him, it's just hard to do because, like you say, there is uncertainty there. So the people who are trying to buy him are trying to buy him low.
Exactly. I think
I'm not selling low for sure. I mean, I'm holding on to him. Now, if you can go out and maybe even, put a little bit with Adams and get a younger guy like a Jefferson, a Chase or something like that, I would do it in a heartbeat. That's actually what I tried. But if you're not for sure getting a stud, I'm probably holding on to him.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in a rebuild league, to where I took over an orphan. And I've got Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb, and I had a manager approach me. It was like, hey, man, let me get Chase from you, and I'll give you Devontae Adams and Elijah Mitchell. And I saw that, and I'm like, I think it's fair. And I was like, but, man, Jamar Chase's potential upside, he can very, very easily be the dynasty wide receiver one going forward. I think he's right there, right outside of it. But for me, man, I couldn't give up that youth, even with a running back thrown in. I was just asking you that, though. I think you're 100% correct, though. I think it really comes down to a hold and just kind of see what free agency happens. I think if you were looking to get peak value, you probably should have sold him last year in the offseason. But the other top-tier guy that I want to talk about real quick, Marcus, is Chris Godwin. I think Chris Godwin falls into a very, very similar category as Devontae Adams, to where it really kind of relies on Tom Brady. If Brady ends up not retiring, which I know there's rumors of and things like that, I think that Bruce Arians would want to get the band back together, per se, and want Chris Godwin to stay in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, with Mike Evans and all of them. The only issue with that I see is that, man, Godwin coming off of this torn ACL in week 15, it's going to be tough for him to kind of, I guess, get back to full speed real quick. You look at players who have come off of this late in the season, such as like Cortland Sutton and a couple more players like that, they kind of struggle getting back in that routine. But for me, I still think Chris Godwin is a decent wide receiver one for your team, I guess. I hate to even say that because I kind of have him ranked more along the lines of like wide receiver 12, 13 in my dynasty rankings. And so I think of him more as like that low end wide receiver one. He has high potential, high talent, man. The guy's a great wide receiver. Man, I look back at his stats for this past year and dude was balling. But the question kind of arises, how much of that was from Tom Brady? And so for me, I think I would rather him stay in Tampa Bay tied to Tom Brady going forward. But Chris Godwin's one of the few wide receivers in this list that I see that if he went somewhere else, could very, very easily become a wide receiver one once he gets back from this injury.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, it's going to depend on Brady. But I honestly, I could see him leaving even if Brady stays, just for the cap there in Tampa Bay. And another thing about Godwin, coming off of injury, and he's a big name, but he's not, he's a top 10 guy, but he doesn't carry that name along with it. you know, I guess because he's been with Evans, and I could see him ending up in a you know, a prime situation, something like, you know, maybe even, and I, it would be tough, but I could see him ending up somewhere like Kansas City, you know, alongside Tyreek Hill, something in that situation, that just, you know, that makes, because I don't think he's going to ask for top money, you know, being hurt. He's going to try to get a big contract, no doubt. But it's not going to be like Davante Adams' money, you know, and he's a little younger than Adams. Adams knows he only has, you know, probably this will probably be his last contract. So Adams is going to try to get all he can get, to where Godwin, you know, I think he's still got, going to have a little bit to prove coming back off of injury. So I think he could end up, you know, to going somewhere like Cleveland or Chicago, which would kill his fantasy value, in my opinion, down to a definite wide receiver too, you know. But again, that's kind of why we're talking through these things. I mean, it all accords to where they end up.
Yeah, and that's something to make mention of as well, is that Tampa Bay actually franchise tagged Chris Godwin the past year. And so with it, they can't franchise tag him again. So really, it's either you pay the man or he leaves.
Yeah.
And so, man, I know, like you said, Godwin wants money. And he wants to be paid for his talents, and he's been kind of shortchanged the past couple years. And so with it, I mean, he's got the talent there. And so I guess it comes down to whatever team can pay him. But Marcus, I want to ask you a question, man. Going off of this list here, who's the one wide receiver who you think, if they leave their situation, could very, very easily increase their dynasty value? Who you think?
I think, a guy with a lot of youth, And he's older, but he's still got a lot of years left to play. I think Juju is a great receiver, but of course, moving on from Big Ben, you don't know who the quarterback there is going to be. They got Freiermuth, who is, you know, a great tight end. They got Claypool, and who's the other guy? Slipped his name.
You got James Washington, Deontay Johnson,
Chase Deontay Claypool. Johnson, yeah. So, you know, there's just too many guys there. I don't think he helps himself by staying in Pittsburgh. And if he ends up on a team, you know, with no receiver somewhere like New England or even Cleveland, you know, he's not going to have maybe the quarterback play that he's had with Big Ben, but he's going to be the guy, you know, to where if he stays in Pittsburgh, he's going to be probably the third guy. So, Claypool, once he straightens himself out, is definitely the number two there. So I think Juju probably ends up best out of that group, getting away from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I think it just comes down to quarterback play, like you said. For me, Juju is one of those guys to where I see him being a wide receiver two on a team. And the only reason I say that is you look back whenever it was just him and Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. And whenever Antonio Brown got all that double coverage and still had a great season, Juju came out balling, man. He had a fantastic season, but then whenever AB left that following year, Juju kind of struggled being the wide receiver one there. And so I would love to see him get paired up with a superstar and honestly just somebody to mentor him, somebody to kind of get him back on track and things like that. But man, Juju as a second fiddle as a team with a great offense, like you mentioned Kansas City earlier, Juju almost signed with Kansas City last offseason. I remember the talks were them and the Ravens, and then he ended up choosing Pittsburgh and taking a pay cut. But man, you look at him as a wide receiver two for a team with a wide receiver one like Tyreek Hill and a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I think situation like that would be prime for him. Yeah. Now somebody I want to talk about real quick is Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is honestly the third best option there at Dallas right now. And honestly, he's been kind of outplayed by Cedric Wilson at times. But I know he's had trouble with his ankle this past season and things like that. But, dude, Michael Gallup's talent-wise is fantastic. The one play that comes to mind automatically is the one where he caught in the corner of the end zone over the defender this past season. Dude has wide receiver one, wide receiver two potential. And I think if he would get out of Dallas where there's too many mouths to feed, and just kind of take free agency by storm and go out. Maybe that's your New England guy. I don't know. But, man, just going somewhere where they can target him and just kind of feed him. I think that would help Michael Gallup's dynasty value tremendously.
Yeah, for sure.
So, let me ask you this question, Marcus. Who which team do you think, I guess, let me ask you this. What team do you think needs wide receiver the most out of that list I gave you?
And of course I'm, you know, a fan, but I think possibly with the moves that could be made and, you know, they could end up with all their guys back. But if you look at Green Bay, you know, with Lazard being a restricted free agent, and then Valdez-Scantlin, and Adams possibly leaving, I mean, Green Bay could be left with nothing. And if, you know, if Adams leaves and Rodgers stays, they're going to have to get somebody in there. But then, of course, another one I look at is New Orleans, because they don't have anything now. I think they've got Traquan Smith, which is a free agent. And you know Michael Thomas don't want to be there. And with Sean Payton leaving, none of those guys are going to want to stay. And you know, Derek being a Saints super fan kind of sent in earlier to the sleeper app talking about how bad over the cap they were. So, I mean, they're going to have to make some cuts. So, I look at in New Orleans, they're going to be wide receiver poor this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. I think when you look at this list of teams, just the things that immediately come to my mind is teams that you have that should be in a rebuild going forward would be the Atlanta Falcons, the Houston Texans, and the New Orleans Saints. Those three teams could actually find one of these veteran wide receivers, pay them a little bit of money, and that bridged the gap for one of the rookie wide receivers to come in. And so I know Robbie, one of our friends and one of our league mates, said that New Orleans needs to go out and draft Jameson Williams. Well, I think if you do that, man, you need to pair him with a veteran wide receiver, somebody like a Michael Gallup, somebody like even an Allen Robinson, who has had terrible quarterback play all of his career, man. And then kind of like pair them up with that, let them be a mentor, and just kind of see that. Now, teams that I think need to go out and get a wide receiver now, obviously Green Bay should have done that this past season. I think we can both agree on that. Other teams, I mean, Kansas City needs to get a wide receiver too. Patrick Mahomes has been throwing the Byron Pringle for way too long. I think Las Vegas would be a prime candidate for a team. Honestly, I think that they're missing that wide receiver one right now. And so obviously people want to be Brian Edwards or Hunter Renfro or whoever, but they need to
from a fantasy, like especially a dynasty perspective, for my sake, Las Vegas definitely needs the one to where people will quit triple covering Darren Waller.
Man. And they're literally
my fantasy team out.
Yeah, think about it, man. Like, you got Darren Waller, who's what, 31, 32 years old. Yeah, you got Josh,
30, yeah.
You got Josh Jacobs, who's, I want to say, 24, 25, something like that. You got a couple of stud players right now that you're fisting to waste their talent because you're not building a team around them. Another prime situation, honestly, would be New England. Right now, they literally have no wide receivers. But you saw what Matt Jones did with, like, Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne and people like that. And so I think New England could very, very easily make a run in free agency and go out and get them a stud wide receiver or even draft somebody else. I would like to see, like what you said, Matt, Devontae Adams with the New England. That's like Randy Moss going to New England. I know he's not playing with Tom Brady, but still, at the end of the day, you're still under Bill Belichick, who knows how to use wide receivers.
Yeah, and one that you've got on this list that I think Tennessee, you know, if they could get a sure number two guy, because you got Brown, which of course who's getting doubled and triple covered, but Julio almost looks healthy again. If he could step back and just be your number three guy, they need – I've seen Brown run a lot of the slot this year, which, you know, he can do that. He's big. He's not super fast. He's physical. But, man, if you get like a little small slot guy for Tennessee and then, you know, put Brown and Julio on the outside, man, of course, I think they need better quarterback play, but – that's a team that could, you know, one good receiver like a, you know, a Cooper Cup or something like that to run that slot. That would make them, you know, a lot better offensively.
Yeah. And man, my thing is, as we end today's episode, I think at the end of the day, this offseason, me and Marcus, man, we can't sit here and predict where these players are going to go. I've seen people try to do that before in the past and fail miserably. Nobody really expected Julio Jones to go to Tennessee Titans. And so for that, we're not going to sit here and try to speculate and be like, oh, we see them here, nothing like that. We're just kind of more of saying it will be cool if those players went to these places. But for me personally, where I'm kind of at right now is I'm excited for this offseason. I think for a lot of your dynasty players are going to be affected by this free agent class. I know wide receiver is super deep. When you look at the quarterbacks, you got a couple of big name quarterbacks that could very, very easily go out and be like little bridge quarterbacks, you know, quarterbacks for them to kind of to get a younger quarterback in the draft and let them give them a couple of times like Patrick Mahomes did behind Alex Smith. The running back class isn't really that deep. There's still some good names out there, though, like James Conner and Chase Edmonds. Tight ends, very, very slim pickings. But I think, man, for me, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for this rookie draft coming up. And like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of people that's affected by this. You remember how we felt whenever Tyler Boyd, when the Cincinnati Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase. And so I think a lot of people is going to have very, very similar reactions when some of these people sign.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Marcus. So as we end today's episode, man, you got anything for the listeners?
One thing I want to put you on the spot. We had talked about this a little bit before, but with us talking about wide receivers and free agents, who if you had to, you know, your Mount Rushmore wide receivers for all time, who would it be, BJ?
All right, so we're choosing four, right?
Yeah, you got four. That's going on the mountain, you know.
All right, so for me, man, I'm going with the ones that I've watched. Okay. I mean, it would be very, very easy to put Jerry Rice up there and just like studs that have the numbers and things like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take my personal Mount Rushmore wide receivers. Something I haven't came up with just off the top of my head. Number one, I'm going Randy Moss. The reason I say that, man, I remember growing up and he, like, we idolized him. Watching him play in Minnesota and then going on from there playing in New England. I want to say, didn't he play in Oakland for a little bit?
He did.
And, man, just that guy could literally go up and grab the ball over anybody. He was a true alpha wide receiver and had, like, just burners. So he would be one of mine. Outside of that, I've got to put Calvin Johnson in there. Man, seeing him in some of his games being double covered, and that still did not matter at all. Being tied to Matthew Stafford, that guy was a stud. So Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. Oh, gosh, Marcus. You're just going to put me on the spot like this.
This is not in the show notes, so I want everybody to know this is definitely off the top of BJ's head.
As far as talent-wise, like I said, this is players that I've watched. Like, I put Devontae Adams up there. I know that that's a hot take because when I think of him as being overall one of the top four wide receivers throughout history, I do not think of him as that. But when I look at the four that I've watched that have been studs, he's honestly one of the ones up there. And then, I guess a wide receiver that I used to really, really enjoy watching was Torrey Holt. Just kind of being undersized there. But seeing him use his speed and agility and things like that to get open, he was one of my favorite ones to watch. So that's my four, okay? Devontae Adams, Torrey Holt, Calvin Johnson, and Randy Moss. Well, who's your four?
Well, I mean, I think Moss is probably top of my list, no doubt. And I'm going to go with Megatron as well, even though his career was cut short. And Jerry Rice. It was at the end of his career when I was really, you know, getting into football big time, but just to watch that guy play. And probably my hot take, and this I'll catch slack over this, because he was so crazy, I guess it takes away, but his on the field, the dude never done anything to get in trouble off the field. It was on the field stuff, but T.O., I think people take away from his talent because of some of the stuff that he done. But if you watch the guy play, I mean, he was uncoverable. You know, he it didn't matter what happened, double coverage, whatever. He was getting open and he was catching the ball. So, and for me, that's hard to do that, without a Packer on there, you know, And of course, Jordy Nelson would be my favorite Packers receiver of all times. But my top four would be those guys.
All right, so here, let me ask you a closing question then off the top of the dome. Who was your favorite wide receiver to watch, period? Just the one that either entertained you the most, the one that you just enjoyed. Let me give you my answer real quick. All right, so for me, I'm going Ocho Cinco. All right, so look, the only reason I say that is because I remember being like in junior high and high school and literally like just looking up YouTube clips or like MySpace videos of his celebrations. Yeah. And just like hearing his mic'd up moments and things like that. Like the dude was entertaining to say the least.
Yeah. And me, the first one that pops in my head, and that's of recent, I guess. But it's going to be Julian Edelman because just the passion that he plays for and to look at the guy and think, you know, he don't look like that, what he played like, you know, he's smaller, of course, he's probably not as fast, but just to watch him play, it was something special. You know, his years with Tom Brady, of course, and, you know, just the passion that he played with, that's me. He never did do all the flashy stuff. It was catch the ball, throw it to the ref, get back, you know. I mean, he let some passion fly from here to there, but it was never nothing flashy.
I like the fact that our two choices were two complete polar opposites.
Yeah, true, true.
Oh, man. So, Marcus, you got any message to the listeners?
Not really. I don't guess. Just hang in there with us. I mean, you know, we're kind of changing things up, trying to get away from just the you know, the league itself and, you know, make it something that everybody can listen to. So, of course, give us your suggestions and let us know what you want to hear. I do like this Mount Rushmore stuff, though. That's something we might put in, you know, as we talk about
each position for free agents.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about doing quarterbacks and running backs together. So we could do the Mount Rushmores together, or we could call this one the Mount Catchmore.
Oh,
the
hey.
The Mount Throwmore.
Oh, my gosh. All right, man. Well, hey, we want to take the time once again to just thank our listeners, guys. Like Marcus said, hang with us. If you guys got feedback or anything, let us know. We're currently in the process of getting an email address for you guys to can actually contact us and things like that. But give us a follow over on Facebook at Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast, and on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. If you so choose, you can give us an honest and genuine 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. But man, we look forward to producing these episodes each week. We look forward to just having some fun conversation, honestly. But if we ain't got nothing else, man, we'll see you guys next week.